You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello, guys. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. This is John Rabin in episode 139 of said podcast. Welcome. I'm probably going to do the same thing I did last week, which is talk a bunch of shit. Actually, don't I do that every week? I do. I'm probably going to do that and then actually do have something recovery related to talk to you about probably by the end. But before I get to that, I just want to kind of just talk about being in Austin, Texas during that winter storm where Texas had snow flurries. It's just a record-breaking storm all across the country, apparently. But it hit us pretty hard because we're not prepared for it, as you probably read in the news and saw the different things going along about it. And last week when I did the podcast, it had just started when I recorded. So it was like, it's no, you know, things are weird. There's snow, blah, blah, blah. Like it was just nothing. And then after that, it, things got turned up a notch. As you've probably read, I don't have to tell you. I was in a fortunate area that shared a grid with a major hospital here in Austin. So we never really lost power for longer than about half an hour at one point. But we did, of course, have our water cut off, or, you know, our water was shut off due to a busted pipe at somewhere. A line broke somewhere. Shocking. Just like a lot of people, we had no water. And so it was one of those things of, I'm going to go collect snow and then boil it so that we can take a shit. You know, it was that kind of a deal. So there was a lot of, and then I posted on my Instagram how I was at first collecting snow. And it came up with a question that I never thought an ethical. Is it morals? It's either morals or ethics. Ugh. I don't remember that class in college. That was a long time ago. I don't know. If you're listening to this, you know. But you don't have to email me and go, you know, actually, it's an ethical question. It doesn't matter. I could Google it if I really gave a shit. And I don't. But it's a question I've never asked before, which is, if I take snow off of another person's vehicle, is that stealing? Is the snow that's on somebody's vehicle, does that belong to them in this scenario? Because normally you're helping them out. It's like, oh, they're really nice. Look, they're cleaning the snow off my car. No, actually, they just need to go number two. And that's why they're doing that. Oh, hey, I need to go number two. And I didn't fill my bathtub with water like I probably should have. Hey, that's my snow. Like, I don't know if that was, but that's an actual question I had. I'm like, is this stealing to take snow off someone's car? That's where I was at for a couple of hours one day. Just because it was funny because we were all kind of, there were several people out trying to gather snow because the sun was coming out. The storms were over. It was the last day and we knew a lot of it was going to melt. And I don't know why, this is not me being, you know, look how smart I am. Humble brag type of a deal. I was the first person to figure it out and think, hey, why am I collecting snow before it melts when I can collect it after it melts and it's water and I don't have to boil the motherfucker? why don't I save a couple of steps here and collect just the water out of a rain gutter or off the roof as it's dripping? Now, I know you're hearing that and going, yeah, duh. I know, duh. But in the moment, you don't really, your critical thinking skills are tend to be a little fuzzy. But I was like, oh, shit. This is what we got to do. We're going to collect water. Huh? Instead of dirty ass snow that we're pretending dogs didn't pee on. So that was the early strategy when things weren't melting, is you had to find areas to collect snow that you knew the dogs weren't going to, because there's tons of dogs in my apartment complex. So it's like, I mean, not just, you know, don't collect the yellow snow, which is an obvious, but also where's the snow that's the most pure, you know, like a snow miner. That was me. I was a snow miner there for a while, but then I struck gold with collecting water out of a gutter. And it was like next level for me. I was like, huh? And other people saw what I was doing and they went, oh shit. Work smarter, not harder. And then they also started doing that. So I revolutionized the shit water game. so that was a... and then after successfully collecting enough water, they cut the water back on about 4 hours later for us. So we were out of water for a bit, but it wasn't near as bad as some people. Some people had no electricity for days, and it's bad. I mean, you can read about it. You know, it's a slow news week because, you know, even the BBC was reporting on Texas. Now, you know, it's a slow news week when the UK is all like, oh, what's happening in Texas? Everyone just looking at us and going, well, this is why it happened, because, you know, Texas is so independent and headstrong. You know, we're all fuck you, which is what they think, and that is some of us are like that. Half my family, I am half redneck, so I definitely see them doing that. There's definitely those people. But it was something. It was also what really bothers me, and I bring this up all the time, which is can be called, I believe, the term, which I don't like the term, because I don't like when people come up with new terms or use obscure terminology that they read in an article like they've known this the whole time, because they don't. They just, you know, they immediately start posting about it on social media like they've always known. And that's my least favorite thing, is when people act like they're in the know because they just read an article. And then they start using the terminology like they're in the local city government. Well, you know, I'm on the board of blah, blah, blah. But, you know, so like, for example, food insecurity. The fuck is that? Food insecurity? Why are we using that term? Is that because that sounds better than greed? Or, you know, panic buying, gluttony. You know, you don't want to use the word shortage. Shortage due to self-centered pricks. Insecurity is a nice soft word that covers all of that, is it? Food insecurity. Crazy. It was crazy because for a day to 2 days there, nothing was open because it was unsafe to drive on our roads because we're not prepared for this kind of crazy shit. So, like, we don't have, nobody has winter tires. Nobody has, we don't have a system in place to salt or sand the roads to this level. The convenience store in my neighborhood, and I've lived here almost 7 years now, I have lived here 7 years. Damn, almost 8 years. They they were closed for 2 days, and they never close. They're open Christmas morning. They are always open. That's how serious it was. When the convenience store in my neighborhood was closed for 2 days, you know shit was real. But so once it finally opened up, of course, everybody panicked, bought stuff like they were, you know, characters in the movie 30 Days of Night. Like they were preparing, you know, for the onslaught of vampires that was going to plague this city because we weren't going to be able to go anywhere for a month. And it's like, motherfucker, it's going to be 60 degrees this weekend. What are you guys doing? But it was, yeah. So I, you know, once I got to a grocery store just to see all the empty aisles and shelves, like people bought all the milk. They bought all the creamer, which is like, are you drinking creamer? Because there's plenty of coffee. There's plenty of coffee available, but all the creamer was gone. Like all the weird flavored creamers were all, like, it was all gone. Which is just to the point, I'm like, well, I've got to drink my milk. I've got to drink my, you know, I got to eat my cereal with something. I think I'll get this Reese's Buttercup flavored creamer. I think that's what we'll do. I mean, what is, I don't know. But so that was all gone. Almost all the bread was gone. And it was like panic buying to a point, because there was some bread left. But the two types of bread left was potato bread, which nobody wanted. That section of bread was untouched. Like everything was, stacked neatly all together. You could tell nobody touched that. And then the other stack of bread that was left was multigrain bread. So it's like, oh my God, we need bread. Multigrain bread. I meant bread, you know, white bread for white people. This is Austin. We love our mayonnaise and our white bread. But so yeah, there was no, you know, nobody was starving for bread. If you needed bread, there was plenty of multigrain. And also potato bread, whatever the fuck that is. I didn't know that was a thing. You're just discovering new things because those are the only things left on the shelf. Potato bread. I wonder if this goes well with beets. Plenty of beets available. I don't know. I think the thing that really bugged me. Really, John? Something bugged you? Yes, something bugged me. What really bugged me, of course, because here's the deal. When you're going through some shit, you get really angry. You get really upset that you're going through some struggles. That I get. And I get complaining about it. Absolutely. And I understand complaining about your problems and what's going on in the world. I get complaining about it on social media. I do. Venting. Absolutely venting. I think what irritates me is the preachiness level when people get to that point. My idiot friends suddenly knew a lot about infrastructure. I think I'll even name this episode that just so it pisses off some people, unless they actually listen to me go, look, when I call you my idiot friends, you're being idiots. You're not stupid, but you're being idiots, just like I'm an idiot. I don't know shit, but I can admit that I don't know shit. I didn't know who ERCOT was a week ago. Come on. Nobody did. Nobody knew what ERCOT. I still don't know what it stands for. It's the energy grid people that dishes out. It's like the mob. Is it they dish out the energy to everybody and they tell Austin Energy, hey, this is all you're going to get or whatever. I don't know. They do a thing. But what bugs me is that people that I know who don't read, and I've known for years, all of a sudden are going to tell me what's wrong with the power grid system in Texas and who's to blame. They suddenly know because they read a post about 15 minutes before composing this one. And it's just disingenuous. You know, it's just kind of like, oh God, here you go. It's like, let me tell you, blah, 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 blah. All right. And what I was thinking about while this is going on, because there was a lot of different posts, and, you know, and it's fine because it just reminds you who to unfollow on social media. You're like, oh, that's right. I've been following this person and they've been okay, but now they're starting to tell me stuff that I didn't ask. Like, if I wanted to know about the infrastructure in Texas and the power grid system and how it all works, I can look it up. I don't go running to social media and go, hey, I wonder if the dick joke guy who talks about his weed dealer, I wonder if he's got the tea. Like, is he gonna, you know, who's got the 411? I wonder if it's my pothead friend who does 90% weed jokes on stage. I wonder if he can tell me in between posts about aliens what's going on with the Texas infrastructure. But here's the deal. When firefighters come to a fire, they don't start investigating arson and making accusations while the fire's raging. They put out the fire first, and then the investigation happens afterwards. Right? So the immediate focus, to me, I think, the immediate focus should be, how can I help people get through this shit while things are, you know, things are going crazy? What can I do to help? Can I help? Am I in a position to help? If I'm not in a position to help, well, then I can't. But can I donate to somebody? Am I better off than other people? Can I check on people that I care about? I'm going to single somebody out because he didn't ask for this. I guarantee you he doesn't listen to me, to my podcast. Maybe he does. But there is a young guy who's a comedian here in Austin, whose first name is Enzo. You can look him up. Austin comedian Enzo. And he just messaged some of his friends. He didn't make a big deal of it. He didn't do a GoFundMe or in some kind of crazy weird shit, or, you know, he just messaged some people and said, hey, do you need water? Let me know and I can drop some bottled water off for you. It was just something just real quick. I don't know. He's the type of guy that probably has a vehicle that could drive on ice. Like, he's one of those guys. Like, he's got an odd skill set is the best way I can put it. He's got an odd skill set. Very unique. Motherfucker's a joke teller and a welder. Like, he's a very, you know, he's not a welder. He's a fucking blacksmith. Like, next, not a well, you know, he's a blacksmith and also a comedian. But yeah, that's what I'm talking about, though. It's all how you act in a situation, you know. Are you going to immediate point fingers and blame an entire political party? You know, like we all were thinking about, you know, what would happen if there were snow flurries in Austin? I don't think we've ever thought that. But, I mean, he didn't do anything big. He just, you know, he was able to offer help to people. And it really kind of opened my eyes about things. It's one thing to make jokes and to vent, which I'm totally about. but it's another thing to use that time to feel like you've got to inform people about what's really going on. And what people need more than you passing along knowledge to get likes on social media is maybe some fucking water. They're going to appreciate water. They're going to appreciate shelter. You know, nobody's going to go, wait a minute, who'd you vote for before I take this water from you? They just need help. And it was really eye-opening for me to see people help and offer help, and restaurants who are already getting fucked over in this pandemic coming together and offering meals. And, you know, because of the food insecurity, they were offering meals because people just couldn't get food. It was just, you know, we can't afford to eat. We don't have anything to eat. And communities coming together for that. It was nice to see that and not politicize everything and not let accusations fly and let me tell you what's really going on, you know, that sort of thing that always bugs me because I think we're all dumb. In one way or another. You know, we don't all know everything. I certainly don't. And if you've listened to this podcast, you know I don't know a lot. I talk out of my ass most of the time. And you enjoy it. Or you don't. But I appreciate it anyway. I do appreciate it. I appreciate you listening. But for real, I don't know what ERCOT stands for. Isn't that what John Legend has? It's like an Emmy, Oscar, Tony, Crammy. I don't know. I had mentioned last week about Craig Ferguson, who I used to watch all the time when it was the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Very underrated show that very few people watch, that like more people watch now because there's all these clips on YouTube. But, you know, the man's in recovery and he's, if you get a chance to, if you see him as a guest on other comedians' podcasts, I totally recommend listening to them because he's, you know, if you can get over the heavy Scottish accent, if you're fine with that, he's definitely, you know, has really good advice and stuff. And one of the things he mentioned that I just kind of wanted to mention here, he said that when it comes to recovery, that a lot of our thinking in terms of when we stop is how can I function without alcohol, without drugs? How am I going to be able to function? And the other thing is that what am I going to do with all this time? How do I fill the time now that I'm not drinking or using drugs? And that that thinking is actually backwards. It's like, how can I function without drugs or alcohol? It's like, when the reality of the situation was, when you were always, you know, when you're a heavy addict, you're not functioning at all with drugs and alcohol. You're just surviving. And you're spending all your time on getting more drugs and alcohol so that you can continue to function, to just tread water. You're not actually doing anything. You're just treading water in your situation. So without, now that you're not dependent on alcohol and drugs, you're actually being able to function again for the first time in a long time. And it's all about thinking, and that, you know, even though that thinking is like, God, like, only I could use again so that I could, you know, go about my day, which is like, that's not how it is. What it is that now you don't have to worry about going through withdrawals and having to devote all your time to obtaining the drug so that you can then not be sick and act, you know, quote unquote function, which now you're actually functioning. You can actually do things without having to rely on it. And the other thing about what can I do with all this time, you know, I got to fill all this, you know, I've got all this, I'm bored, I got all this free time because, you know, because I used to devote, but that's the thing, you used to devote all your time to getting the drugs and doing the drugs and sitting back high from the drugs, and, or you're sick on the drugs waiting until you can get them again. Like, it's 24/7. It's the whole cycle was about the drugs or about the booze. And now that that's not there, it's like, what am I going to do? You can do everything. You can do things. So it's all about the mentality about, you know, it's not about filling your day with the void. You know, I've done that. So, you know, even now, even years later, I still deal with that. I still deal with the idea of, oh, how am I going to fill my time? You know, it's like, well, just what you're with life. You're just, it's not about making up, you know, it's not about filling a void. It's now you've got, now you can do whatever. You're limited to, I guess, whatever limits, you know, life, whatever life limits you to. But it's a mentality. It's a mentality about not thinking about, oh, now I've got to substitute my addiction with something else. And that makes sense early on because you're trying to develop new habits. You're trying to develop new ways of living versus what you're used to with the junkie behavior. So it's about substituting it with something else to become addicted to, or to, you know, pastimes or something to keep yourself busy. But at some point you've got, it's a realization where we have to sit there and go, okay, we're not doing that anymore. Now what do? Well, we're just living life. Now it's like, well, what do you want? You have to figure out what you want. And then that's what you have to do. You have to figure out what you're going to do. And that sounds really difficult. That's really hard. It is. But it's all about changing a mentality. I guess it's all about looking at things, not necessarily an optimistic, like, you know, glasses half full, because I'm not a glasses half full type of guy, but changing your perception to where it's not a negative. Don't live life as a negative doesn't mean I have to live it as a positive only. You know, let me do positive affirmations and everything is great. Look at this fake smile. I'm dying on the inside. It's not anything like that. It's just a more shifting it from a negative to a more realistic standpoint for me. It's like, this is really what's up. What's really up is you're not doing drugs anymore. You're not getting blitzed. You're not getting drunk all the time. Now you can do things. You're not relying on a substance to keep you going. Now you can do your shit. So do it. I don't know what I want to do. Well, that's on you. You need to figure it out. And that's an everyday for me personally is, what do I want? I don't want anything. Well, you're going to be bored then. Aren't you bored? I am bored. Well, find stuff that you want. Figure it out. It's an everyday thing, I know. Every day, got to figure out what I want. Thank you guys for joining me again. I will be here next week. I hope you're hanging in there. And it's an emotional roller coaster this year already. You know, we're 1/6 down of the year. But, you know, hang in there. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you next week. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. Later.
Bad boy that pierces skin. Come back down to earth again. Cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line.